Hello, this is Jesse Liberty, and this is yet another podcast. Today, I am very pleased to have on yet another podcast, Bassem Emara. Bassem and I met through Falafel Software. He is one of the gentlest and brightest people I've had the pleasure to work with. He has over 10 years' experience as a consultant, as a developer, and as a trainer in web and mobile. And he has helped enterprises pioneer their industries using JavaScript, .NET, and now iOS and Apple Watch Kit. Bassem has two Apple Watch apps in the store, that hardly seems possible, that were available before the launch of the device, and will soon launch his third. You can view his apps at http://zamzam.io. I'll have to ask him about that. Bassem, how are you?
Good, Jesse. Thanks for having me on again. It's always a pleasure.
Yeah, well, the pleasure is mine. Let me warn folks that despite my best efforts to get quiet, the next door neighbor is cutting down trees, so there may be a little bit of noise, but I wanted to go forward today. And on that note, let's start with Zamzam. Is that how you say it? .io?
Yeah, Zamzam.io. It's a company I started recently, and actually the name, it comes from a well that's in the Middle East next to the Kaaba. So it's a biblical reference. It's a well from Prophet Abraham and his son and wife. So it's a biblical reference. But I like the name. It's pretty, even if you don't know the meanings behind it, it's still a fun and easy, catchy name. So that's why I went with it.
You, when I worked with you, were very, certainly you worked on a lot of different things, but you were mostly .NET-focused, .NET-focused and even web-focused.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah, I was totally in the .NET world, full force, and then I slowly started shifting to JavaScript for the past 3 or 4 years and been tackling that, pretty much mastered that for a while. And then I moved on to, right now, into iOS and WatchKit using Swift. So I did a lot of, I covered a big range of technologies, but really what led me down the road to the Apple side, which is kind of like the arch nemesis of the .NET world, was actually the Apple Watch. I liked their vision, what they had for it. Obviously, it wasn't the first smartwatch, but Apple is really known for creating strong trends, and actually, I wouldn't be doing Apple Watch at all if it wasn't for Swift. Swift is a beautiful language. It's very similar to JavaScript.
So you've raised a few things that I really want to make sure we cover. Swift and iOS and the watch. And I got to say, I got my watch, and I was skeptical. I had the Pebble, and I really liked the Pebble, and the watch has blown me out of the water. It's absurd to spend that kind of money on a watch, but it's incredibly convenient. And so I'm really into it. And I am trying to program it from the perspective of Xamarin and iOS. But you opted to go with Swift. So can you talk a little bit about why and what the advantages are, you see?
Yeah, that's a really good point there. I haven't done iOS development before. I've been totally in the C# world and JavaScript. So I didn't feel that, you know, going straight into Xamarin would be a good path for me. Personally, I actually wanted to learn the ins and outs of the native development before moving on to something like Xamarin. So I wanted to understand how the APIs work and how the Cocoa framework works and everything like that. So I felt that going native in the beginning would help me understand, and then I can use different abstract frameworks.
That makes a lot of sense. And help me understand Swift's role. Is it talking directly to the native API?
Yes, it is. It's just like the name implies. It's very fast to work with, and it's script-like. It's kind of like a mixture of JavaScript, Ruby, Python, C# even. So it took the best of all these languages and then put them together. But it is native, and it's positioned to replace Objective-C. So Objective-C does have a dead end now.
Thank goodness.
Yeah.
Tell me about the learning curve on Swift.
It's a very low learning curve if you've done JavaScript before, even C#. So it is very similar to other languages. So the entry level is very, very easy relatively to Objective-C. Objective-C is absurd. It just looks like a soup of words. Doesn't seem like there's any structure to it. But that could be my own personal view coming from JavaScript and C#.
Clearly, Apple sees a lot of hope in Swift and an easier entry. I think it lowers the bar to entry for developers. Is that fair?
Yes, it is.
Okay, so you decided to go with Swift, and the learning curve can't be too steep, because as far as I could tell, on Monday you said, I'm going to learn this, and on Friday you had an app in the store.
Yeah, that's right. It took me about a month to really put together an app and actually have an app working and submit it to the store. So actually, the Swift language, like I said, it's very similar to JavaScript. So if you know JavaScript, it's actually even more so. It's like ECMAScript 6 or TypeScript. Mm-hmm. It's very similar to TypeScript.
It's a strongly typed language?
Yes. Yes, it is. Yeah. And it has all the complex features of that other languages have, such as like classes and inheritance, and you can do really complex things still. But from the syntax of it, it's very script-like, so that makes it very comfortable to work with.
And does it have the advantages of scripts that you can see that the write, compile, debug cycle is very quick?
Yeah, that's a good thing to mention, is that it does come with compiler checks. And the thing is that it's still early, though. I mean, actually, with Swift is, I think, in version 1.2 at this point. But there's still bugs, not in the language, but in Xcode dealing with Swift. So sometimes the Xcode will not allow you to compile something because it thinks there's a compile error, but it's actually a bug, and it's actually sometimes you have to close the IDE and reopen it. So there's a lot of quirks going on with Swift, but the language itself is pretty solid. It's just the compiler checks are still a little early for it, it seems.
Mm-hmm. And how is the IDE?
Well, coming from Visual Studio, I really miss Visual Studio a lot. Mm-hmm. Xcode is just like I remember it from dabbling in iOS long ago, not really building an app, but just looking at it. It's pretty bulky still. It crashes a lot. But from what I understand, it's come a really long way. So it was worse before. Yes. So it's getting better, it seems. Yeah.
Well, not only has it slimmed down a bit, but I think building the UI has gotten a lot easier than it used to be, which should give you some idea of what it was like in the past.
Yeah. There's a lot of drag and drop to build what they call the storyboard, which is really helpful. And you can attach into the controls just like you would in web forms in Visual Studio. It's similar to that.
Okay, I'm going to back you up and ask you about why you chose to develop for the Apple Watch, because the Apple Watch audience at the moment is probably even smaller than the Windows Phone. So what made you decide to invest in programming for that?
I really believe the smartwatches in general is a new era of mobile devices. You know, we first started out with big supercomputers and then the personal computers and then smartphones. So there's a trend happening where devices are actually getting smaller and smaller, and the watch seems like the next logical step from the smartwatch. I'm sorry, from the smartphone. So it seems from the smartphone, the smartwatches is the next version of devices for mobile. So I wanted to be on the forefront of that, And I felt that Apple would be a good mentor in helping me understand, you know, their philosophies behind that. So with Apple being the trendsetter and you know, whether everyone agrees with that or not, they really know how to, you know, with the iPhone, they just have a proven track record. And with the Apple Watch, it's really probably the best smartwatch out there, and it's an excellent first version of things. So I wanted to be part of the mobile revolution going forward, which I believe is smartwatches.
Well, I won't argue with that, but at the moment, the Apple Watch is an extension of your phone, and all of the mobile watch apps that I've seen that are good are extensions of other apps that are valuable on the phone. So the watch becomes a quick, pretty much read-only way to deal with those applications. So do you agree that it's going to have to be, if it is going to be read-write, that it's going to need to be voice-centric?
Exactly, yeah. Voice recognition is the only way forward with bringing the smartwatches ahead. And right now, because voice recognition isn't really strong right now in this era, it heavily depends on the iPhone for things. Which is extremely annoying. I mean, I can't go outside and talk to my neighbor without bringing my phone with me, because if I'm looking at my watch and I leave my phone at home, the watch is pretty useless. I look at my watch and it says it can't find the phone. I can't open any apps. All I can do is tell the time. And so that's irritating.
Well, I agree with you, except I can't quite imagine going outside without my phone.
Well, that's what the Apple Watch is trying to solve. They're trying to make it so that you won't need your phone as much. And they've done a pretty good job with things like telling the time. How many of us take out our phone from our pocket just to see what time it is? Mm-hmm. And also notifications is a really big core feature of the watch. So we're getting notifications on our watches now. So those are, you know, two big things that we don't have to use our phones anymore for.
Yes, I have mine set at a high information setting. So it has, I'm looking at it right now, it has the time, the day, the date, my next appointment, the time in my home city, and the weather, the temperature. And I don't think you could get that much information in any watch until this one with its incredible display. But that's all read-only information. That's all, I mean, it's valuable information. But I agree that the strong suit here is A, providing simple glance information, and B, those notifications. And the notifications are tremendously important.
Yeah, there's still uncharted territories with the user interface. There's not so much real estate on there. And we're in an innovation period where we're discovering, even Apple themselves and Microsoft and Google with all these different smartwatches, we're discovering new interface user experiences, new controls, and they're depending heavily on the community to come up with new ways with interacting with the watches.
But the Apple Watch is expensive. Do you envision Google or Microsoft or any other of the big players coming out with an almost as good watch for half the price?
Well, it's the same question that can be asked on the iPhone. Most people think that the iPhone is just a pretty solid device with not just the interface of it, but also the interactions and the display and how it's built in a solid way. So I think there's going to be more competitors. This is really the first round of smartwatches where V1 across the board. It'll be interesting to see what kind of watches will be out next year after everyone starts to copy each other.
See, I'm convinced that Apple cannot keep to its release every year on the watch because it's too expensive. And if you come out in a year with a significantly better watch after people spend $600 on the base watch, then people are going to be very annoyed.
Yeah, that's a good point. Actually, with a lot of updates will be coming out soon for the software itself, mm-hmm. and it's going to make huge changes to the watch just through software. Next month is the developer conference for Apple, and you know, there's obviously it's Rumorville, but there's a lot of different updates that will be happening for the Apple Watch. Things like custom, what they call complications on the face. So you have your weather, you have your activity, or your date. Well, you can put custom. You'll be able to put custom custom complications on the face, and also the watch won't have to communicate with the iPhone anymore in a future update, which Apple has hinted to that, you know, from the beginning, that they'll allow for native apps on the watch without needing an iPhone at all, and that can be done through software only.
Right. So it may be that the investment in this watch, the hardware of this watch, will last a bit longer than it has in the investment in the phone.
Yeah, I think maybe sensors, it would be a good investment from the hardware perspective, but I think everything's there for pushing it through software.
Well, every prediction I've ever made has turned out wrong. So let me turn our attention to, if you would, comparing the kind of development that you've been doing with native development. Is Swift indistinguishable from doing native development?
It is very different, because with building mobile web apps using JavaScript, there are tons of different decisions you have to make, and it's all based on experiences, such as what libraries I want to use, or how should I structure the framework itself, and putting it all together. There's a lot of different moving pieces, many from third parties, and it's really decentralized. On the native side, it's highly opinionated. There's usually just one way to do things, and you can just add your own flavor to it. So native, it's very different, because it's very guided. There's not too many things going on. And another thing is, with the native development, there's a lot of restrictions that you have to comply with. So, you know, if you want your app approved, and you got to do things a certain way, but you know, with the web, anything goes. So there's these little things right here and there, but from a big perspective, it's, I think the biggest piece is, it's not really as daunting as web development. And web development is just, it's too much freedom, which can be a good thing and a bad thing. So that's the other side of things, is native development. It's very structured.
All right. So that brings me to a practical question. There are, at this point, I have no idea how many apps on the phone, but I really think it might be a billion. And so if you write an app, I mean, it's just so likely to get lost in there. And so people write apps for credibility, or they write apps on demand from an enterprise. Do you think we're going to see a similar thing with the watch?
Yeah, we're already seeing it. But actually, with the watch right now, when it was launched, there was only 3,000 apps in the store for the watch. So if you had maybe, you know, two or three apps in the store, you got a better chance than submitting an iPhone app. So the numbers are small right now. I definitely imagine that it's going to get extremely saturated very quickly. But for the most part, I think it's going to still be a part of, you know, building your portfolio up, and also maybe it'll continue to be a lotto. You know, maybe your app will make it, maybe it won't.
What about advertising? Do you imagine advertising coming onto the watch?
Oh, I hope not. That would be a bad use of real estate.
Yeah, but the question is, are people going to invest in building these applications if there's no return on that investment?
It is pretty early right now. The enterprises are still trying to find ways of how to make sense of all the use of the watch. I think there's certain categories out there where the watch will excel which is proven to excel so far, such as the health and medical industry, you know, for being able to, you know, track your health and your heartbeat and tying that into your medical facilities. So health, I think, is a strong category where I think the investment is happening right now. And other things, another category would be remote controls, control your house with HomeKit or all these different things. It just makes perfect sense to control your home from your watch or your car. Tesla has their own app, and BMW has their own watch app, which works pretty well. It fits the scenario, and you know, you have other things like weather. But the question is, will it really be useful for utilities like even calculators or unit converters or calculating tips? It's as soon as, you know, I've had the watch for about a couple of weeks and the novelty is starting to wear off, and it's coming down to it just tells the time and gives you notifications. That's the strong point. Everything else is just fluff and bonuses, but I think eventually we'll start to discover new ways to use the watch.
Hey Siri, what's 18% of 2345?
I hope she doesn't pass it to your phone.
Oh, and she did. She said use handoff.
Oh, yeah. That's the thing. Yeah, it's another thing is like constantly using handoff. But I think that's easily fixable with updates in the future. There's just too many handing off happening between the watch and the phone.
Yeah, I mean, if I have to drag my phone out of my pocket, then we've sort of lost some of the benefit. Let me ask you this. Do you think, with all of what you've said, that the Apple Watch is or will be a success?
I think they pulled it off. I think they did. It is the best smartwatch out there. It is doing notifications very well, which is the purpose of the watch itself, is notifications. And the thing is that, you know, it's still, like I said, the novelty is running out. So, you know, I don't think that we're going to, all the things that we've imagined to do with the watch, such as, you know, playing games on it and things like that, I don't think that's going to happen for a very long time. But I think Apple did succeed with it. They've introduced many new user experience concepts that are part of the watch kit, and it's really a nice first version for a watch. It's extremely solid, and it works pretty well, I think.